Hello, gorgeous souls.
And welcome to the Find Your Power podcast. I'm your host, Kirsten. And welcome to the place where I help you expand your soul, your mind, and of course, your bank account. Here we talk all things mindset, manifestation, spirituality, personal growth, and so much more. Today, I urge you to open up your mind, receive something new, learn something new, and grow just a little bit more. I thank you so much for trusting me to be a guide along your journey. And now, without further ado, let's begin.
Hello, 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 my powerful souls, and welcome back to the Find Your Power podcast. I'm so happy you're here. If you've been here before, thank you for coming back. And if you're new here, welcome, welcome. This is going to be a super fun episode all about finances, but I kind of wanted to explain why my voice and my mic, my audio might sound a little bit different today than it normally does. I'm actually recording this on my laptop, like directly through my laptop mic, rather than using my special podcasting microphone, because I have like a special Yeti one. It's for podcasting. It's amazing. I love it. But it's super big. It's super heavy. And I'm going to be going to Tulum, Mexico for a whole month, all of February. And I know that I don't want to drag my whole podcasting mic over there. So I'm just going to make episodes from my laptop. So I wanted to do a little tester episode and see how this turns out and how it sounds without my podcast mic. So that's why I sound a little bit different, but hopefully it's still clear. You guys can still hear me and it sounds good enough. So today I'm super, super excited to talk about this topic because it's not something I've really dove into on my podcast yet, but I feel like this information is so crucial for everyone to know, no matter if you are 60 or 12 or whatever background you come from, no matter what your career is, no matter who you are, this information is so crucial and important to know. And I'm going to say this up front. Some of you might already know these tips and be like, Kirsten, this is just common knowledge. But some of you might have no idea about what I'm going to say. So basically, I just want to lay it all out there so that all of you have access to the information that you need in regards to finances so that you can properly set yourselves up to start building wealth, because we're all about abundance here, all right? I want all of you guys to have so much abundance. Money is a tool, it is energy, and I want you guys to be able to be abundant and live the lives that you want to. And a lot of that comes down to really taking control of your money, taking control of your finances, and doing the right things strategically to make sure that you are able to grow your money over time instead of losing money over time. So this episode is going to be, I'm either going to go into all of it, or I'm going to do like a part one and a part two, or maybe a series or something. It just depends on how long this ends up going. But I'm going to give you guys my financial tips. Again, this is not financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just giving you guys tips from my experience in life and also from what I've learned from reading. I just recently read a very amazing book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich, and it was so eye-opening and had so many amazing tips just on things that everybody should know about, on credit cards, on building credit, on savings accounts, on Roth IRAs and investing and having your money build over time so you can retire early so that you can live your rich life. So tons of amazing tips in there. So I'm going to go into some of those, some of my own tips and all of that good stuff. So anyways, enough of my rambling. Let's get into the goods. So the first thing I want to go over is savings accounts, because I'm sure all of you guys have savings accounts, whether you have a ton of money in there or not a lot. I'm sure everybody at least has a savings account. If you don't have one, you definitely need one. But the thing with savings accounts is basically you are putting your money into this account. You're giving your money to the bank, and they are then taking that money and they are doing stuff with it. They're lending it out, they're investing it, they're doing all this stuff with your money.
And basically what they do for, you know, for you lending your money, for you putting your money in their account, they give you a small interest per year. Most savings accounts give you about 0.01% interest. That is nothing, okay? It is nothing. So when you're having your money sitting in a savings account, it's barely gaining anything over a year. And then when you take inflation into account, last year inflation was around 7%. So when you take that into account, your money is actually losing value sitting in that account. So the key here is to make sure that our money is in the best sort of savings account that it can possibly be in. Again, I'm not a huge fan of savings in general. I'm a fan of investing a lot of my money, but you know, you do need to have a savings account for emergencies and for, you know, savings for short-term purchases and stuff like that. But when we have this account, we want to make sure it's the best one we can possibly be in. So until recently, I didn't really think twice about it. I was just in a normal savings account. I was in PNC, just a normal savings account because that's what I opened up as a teenager. That's just where my money was. I didn't think anything of it. I thought all banks had the same savings interest rate, 0.01%. Turns out that is not true, all right? So some banks are going to give you less back. Some are going to give you more. So once I found out that there's other banks that will give you more percent, it was a no-brainer to me. I'm like, why would I keep my money in an account that's going to earn me 0.01% interest when I can be in an account that's going to earn me 0.5% interest? Still not a huge amount, but that small percentage difference makes a difference. So what I did was I took my money and I put it into a new savings account. The one that I like is Ally Bank. That one is a completely online bank, so they don't have any physical branches, but they're an online bank. Their interest rate is 0.5% compared to the 0.01% that I was at. So now my money that's in there is accruing more interest. I'm getting more back compared to my other savings account. So that is a small adjustment that you can make that can help you in the long run, not by a lot, but at least you're taking control of your money. You're saying, you know what, I'm not going to have my money in this bank account that is barely giving me anything. I'm going to switch over to one that is going to give me a little bit more. Again, it's a small adjustment. It's not going to make you tons of money, but at least you're able to get a little bit more percentage for the money that is sitting in your savings at that time. So as far as these accounts go, I have two that I like. I have two that I recommend. That is the Ally Bank and the Capital One 360 savings account. They're both great. I believe the Ally Bank one is 0.5% right now, and Capital One 360 might be around 0.4 or 0.5. I'm not sure, but you can look around and see the benefits of each one and see which one you would want to go into. But another great thing about Ally Bank that I bank with now is it's very easy to use. It's an online site, online bank, super easy to use. I can transfer very easily. They have 24/7 customer support through chat that I can chat with if I have any issues. It's just very easy to navigate, very easy to deal with. And the great thing about having a savings account with them is it's separate from my checking account. So my checking account and my savings account are now not in the same place. The great part about this is when your savings is in a different account, different place, different site that you don't have access to on the daily or that you're not looking at on the daily, it psychologically allows you to save more because you're not looking at that money all the time. You're not having direct access to that money through your debit card or something like that. So I highly recommend switching your savings account. I like Ally Bank, like I said, but it's not going to gain you tons of money. It's just a small little adjustment to make sure that you are getting the most from your savings account. So that covers savings accounts. The next thing I want to cover is your checking account. This is also very, very important because
Some checking accounts are taking advantage of you. Some banks are taking advantage of you and they have tons of fees, or they have minimums, overdraft fees, all kinds of crap where they try to pull strings and do whatever they can to take money from you in regards to fees. I hate that. This is your money. You should have control of your money, and it should be in a place where they are not taking advantage of you, okay? It's your money that you're putting in a secure place. You should not be taken advantage of by these banks charging all of these fees to get every little cent they can out of you. No, I don't roll like that. So I really recommend looking at your current checking account and seeing what kinds of fees your bank charges on that checking account. What sorts of requirements are there? Are there minimum balances you have to meet? Do they have different kinds of fees and stuff that pop up out of nowhere? All of that stuff matters because the average person spends a lot of money yearly just on bank fees alone. You guys should not be losing money from bank fees when you could be putting that money into better places. You could be using it for bills. You could be using it to invest. You don't want to just give it away to the banks because of fees, all right? So I recommend looking at your current account. If your bank does charge a lot of random fees, you can contact the bank and try to negotiate with them and see if you can switch to having no fees, or just being a no fee checking account. You can try to negotiate, you can try to go back and forth with them. If that works, amazing, you can keep your current checking account. If it doesn't, I recommend moving somewhere else where you're not gonna get taken advantage of with tons of fees. So my favorite and most recommended checking account is the Charles Schwab checking account, all right? This account, guys, is literally phenomenal, all right? So first of all, you have unlimited ATM fee rebates worldwide. There's no fees, no account minimums. There's no foreign transaction fees. So if you use your Charles Schwab debit card somewhere foreign, there is no transaction fee on your transactions. And you have an APY of 0.03% on your checking account balance, okay? That is higher than some other banks' savings accounts, all right? So this account is amazing. I love it. No fees, no minimums. That is really the key here. Even if you don't travel a lot, if the foreign transaction fees don't mean anything to you, or the ATM rebates don't mean anything to you, that's fine. But the no fees and no minimums part should mean a lot to you. Not to mention, Charles Schwab is very easy to use. It's convenient. It's secure. They have a really great mobile app. They just make things super easy. So that's my recommendation in regards to a checking account. You can also look around and find some other ones that are no fee checking accounts as well, but I highly, highly recommend Charles Schwab. They are amazing. All right. The next thing I want to talk about is, of course, credit cards. All right. If you don't have a credit card, you need one. I don't care what anybody has told you about credit cards. I don't care if people have told you credit cards are bad or whatever. You need a credit card, all right? This is going to be one of the most important things, especially if you're on the younger side and you don't really have any other lines of credit. Having a credit card and being responsible with it is going to be huge with building your credit, all right? Not to mention that many, many credit cards have perks to them, all right? So me, for example, I was using a credit card for multiple years, and it was just an average standard starter credit card. So I didn't have any perks. There was no cash back. There was no points, no rewards, no nothing. It was just a credit card. But it was still great to have as a beginner card because I was able to use it, pay it off, build up credit. And now I just got approved for a new credit card. I went for the Chase Sapphire. I did research. I just kind of loved the perks of it. It's a very good travel card. You get tons of points on travel and different things. And there's a bunch of other built-in perks to it as well in regards to travel insurance and car insurance and stuff like that. So lots of perks to that card. I researched. I loved that one. I applied and I got approved. But I wouldn't have gotten approved for that card with the better benefits and the better perks if I didn't have a card before that. So whatever card you can get approved for, go ahead and get approved for it, and start using that on the daily and pay it back. I recommend every single week. So I would pay off your credit card every single week in full, because the lower credit utilization ratio you have, the better. And I'm going to get into that in a second when in regards to building credit. But as far as credit cards go, if you don't already have a credit card, please go get a credit card. Please, please, please. As long as you're 18, get yourself a credit card. If you can, for your first card, get approved for something that does have perks, whether it's cash back or points or something like that, I highly recommend it. If, you know, like me, I wasn't able to get approved for any of those, I just had to go with a basic card, that's fine as well. If you're someone who has a credit card and you've been using a credit card for years and years, I recommend looking at your current card, seeing the perks that are with your current card, and shopping around a little bit. Look around and see if there's any other cards out there that can get you better benefits, better perks for your spending, because this is money you're spending anyways. You want to get the most out of it, right? So look around, see what's most important to you. Some cards are give better points for grocery purchases. Some cards give more points for dining. Some cards give more points for gas purchases. So look at your daily spending and see what you spend the most money on. And I recommend going with a card that gives you a ton of points or cash back in that specific area, because there's tons of cards out there, but you want to find what's best for you and your current spending habits. Me, I travel a lot, so I wanted to go with a card that was pretty good on travel rewards and travel points. For the Chase Sapphire, for example, when I spend $4,000 in the first 3 months of having the card, I get a $750 credit, which through Chase Rewards, I can get literally a whole flight to Europe. So just from using my card for the first 3 months and spending $4,000, which of course I would spend on my life anyways if I was using a debit card, but instead if I'm using my Chase Sapphire card, I'm able to earn that $750 of rewards and get a free flight somewhere or something like that. So really you want to make sure that you are getting the best for what you can get. You want to get the best points, best cash back for the money that you are spending on your credit card. So point is, shop around, find the best card for you, and go ahead and go for it, apply for it. As long as you're not someone that has tons of cards and you're just like opening up lines of credit to just have more credit. No. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying if you are responsible, open up another card where you can get more perks and benefits. Not saying to open up another card just to have more credit in general. So what I mean by this is don't open up another card to be like, well, I have 2,000 on this card and I have 3,000 on this card and I have 500 on this card. So now I have all of this credit that I can use and I have all this free money. No, all right. The point of opening up another card is basically saying, all right, I'm opening this up so that I can get more perks for my purchases, but I'm not thinking of the fact that I have $5,000 in credit available, because I'm viewing my credit card as a glorified debit card, all right? I'm not spending money that I don't have. I'm just using my credit card instead of my debit so I can get rewards, I can get points, and more security on my purchases. And then every week, I'm just transferring from my debit card, from my checking account, and I'm transferring to my credit card and paying it off every single week, all right? It's just a way to get points, perks, and build up your credit and your credit score. It is not something to use to just have more money and more credit to use on random things that you don't have the money for. No. So if that is who you are at this point and you have tons of credit cards, don't take this advice. Don't open up another credit card. I'm talking to the people who maybe have one or two cards that just aren't giving them a good benefits, good perks. I'm saying for those people, go ahead and find a card that's going to give you more for your purchases. Now, to touch back on the paying off your card every single week, that's my recommendation. Other people will say pay it off twice a month. Other people will say pay it off in full once a month. I like paying it off every single week just because it keeps my credit utilization ratio lower. And what that's going to do, or what that means, is credit utilization ratio. So let's say you have $500 on your card. Your credit has an allowance of $500. And let's say you are using $50 of it. So on your card currently, you have used $50. You have $50 that you have, you know, purchased something with your credit card. All right. So you've used 50 out of your $500 credit. So that ratio is 50 divided by 500 equals 10%. So your credit utilization currently is at 10%. You want this ratio to be, I say, less than 20 to 30, less than that at all times, which is going to help build your credit score. So you don't want to be using $400 out of your $500 credit, because that's an 80% utilization ratio. And that is not a ratio you want to be at. So I recommend keeping it below, let's just say 20%, below 20% at all times. So if you are paying off your credit card weekly, you're way more likely to be at a lower credit utilization ratio at all times. So for example, let's say you're using $50 week one, $50 week two, $50 week three, $50 week four. All right, now you've used $200. All right, if I did that math right, yeah, you're using $200 out of that 500. So you're at 40% utilization. And then at the end of the month, you go and pay off your whole card. Well, you know, that's great and all that you paid off your whole card, but still you were at a 40% utilization ratio, which is going to affect your credit score. Whereas if you are paying off your card weekly, let's say you use 50 week one, then you pay it off, 50 week two, then you pay it off, 50 week three, and so on and so on. At any given time, you are only at that 10% utilization ratio, which is going to help build your credit. All right. So that's my recommendation when it comes to your credit card. Pay it off weekly if you can, pay it off in full, keep your utilization as low as possible, and it is going to help build your credit, which is very important when you're looking at future purchases and stuff like that. So that's all I want to say about credit cards. I'm not going to go too in-depth with those, but just take those tips, be responsible with your credit cards, and make sure that you are getting the most out of your cards. And also, last tip, do not open any credit cards that get shipped to you in the mail. Do not open any credit cards from stores like Victoria's Secret, Macy's, whatever stores are asking you to open up credit cards for a discount. Do not do them. They are predatory and the fees are insane and it's not going to be pretty for you. Don't open them, period. So just stick with a good perks credit card. I like the Chase Sapphire. I'm a little bit biased with that one, but look around and find which one is going to be best for your spending habits. And please do not open up any from stores or any that come in the mail. All right, do your research and find one that is going to be good for you. All right, next thing I want to talk about, actually, you know, let me pause for a second and say, if you've made it this far, thank you so much. I know some of those tips might have been something that a lot of you guys already know, but I just kind of want to get it out there because it's stuff that I didn't know years ago. And I feel like it's not talked about enough. And if you don't have parents that taught you certain things about accounts and money and cards and stuff like that, there are some people out there who just are clueless on this stuff. So I wanted to kind of lay that stuff out there. So thank you for sticking with me. Next, I'm going into retirement savings. All right, we're going to talk about a Roth IRA. I could go into a 401k, but if you have a 401k, you should already know about that, what it is, what it does. I want to talk about a Roth IRA, all right? Because this is something that you're going to open on your own. It's not something that a company is contributing to or anything like that. Your Roth IRA is essential, and it is something that you should be putting money into in order to start saving for retirement, all right? So for those of you who don't know what a Roth IRA is, it's basically a retirement account in which you basically earn percent growth every single year because you are investing in indices and target date funds and whatever in this account. and you're able to grow your money in this account, and it is tax-free, all right? So number one, this is going to compound every single year. So as you keep adding money to your Roth IRA and you keep investing into index funds and target date funds, your money is going to continue to grow every year as you keep adding money to it, and it's going to compound and grow very quickly over the years, and it is tax-free. So when you go to retire and you take your money out of this Roth IRA, it is not going to be taxed. That means that your gains over the past 30, 40, 50 years are not going to be taxed. That is huge, okay? If you were to just go right now, take your money and buy a stock, if you went to E-Trade and you just put $1,000 into a random stock, and let's say it grew over the past 10 years, and then you go to take that money out and you go to sell it, you're gonna be taxed heavy on those earnings, on those gains. Whereas with a Roth IRA, you're not getting taxed on it, because basically you are putting in your already taxed earnings, your already taxed income, and you're putting that into your Roth IRA. You're investing in the Roth IRA. It's growing over 30, 40, 50 years. And then when you retire and take that money out, you don't get taxed on those gains. So think about 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 in upwards thousands of dollars of gains from this account are not being taxed. That is huge. That is why a Roth IRA is so amazing and so important. So if you don't have one open right now, you need one, okay? And you need to be contributing to it every single month. The max you can contribute is $6,000 a year. So of course the best is going to be to contribute that whole $6,000 every single year. But if you're in a place where you're not making a lot of money, and you can only invest even $50 a month into your Roth IRA, that's okay. But the earlier you start, the better, because the more time that money has to grow and to compound, and it's just going to result in a lot more money the earlier that you start. So don't think that, oh, I don't have thousands of dollars, I can't invest. No, you can start off with $50 a week, $50 a month, I don't care, but be putting into your Roth IRA so that you can start growing that money and compounding that growth and having it be tax-free. Like, that's insane. Now, I want to touch on something really quick, because in the book that I read, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, he mentioned that one of his readers, there was a girl who opened a Roth IRA, and she put money into it every single month for a few years. And turns out, I don't know if it was 5 or 10 years later, she realized that just putting money into the Roth IRA account doesn't actually invest it. So she wasn't able to actually grow her money at the rate that it could have been growing at, because she didn't actually invest the money once it was in the Roth IRA. So she missed out on thousands of dollars of growth because she just simply didn't know that you don't just put the money into the account and let it sit. So I'm here to tell you guys, if you don't know, when you open up a Roth IRA, you can't just fund it and put money into the account and let it sit. Once the money's in there, you need to invest that money into either index funds or target date funds. Those are my two recommendations. If you don't know much about investing and you want a very hands-free, hands-off type of system, I recommend doing a target date fund. So definitely recommend looking up some top target date funds, depending on which broker you go with, online broker you go with. I use Fidelity. Vanguard is amazing. I would honestly recommend Vanguard, but years ago I already opened up a Roth IRA with Fidelity, so it's just, I'm not gonna switch over to Vanguard now just because. So I have one with Fidelity. They're very easy to use. You can use Fidelity, you can use Charles Schwab, you can use Vanguard. Those three are amazing. But you'll basically open up a Roth IRA with either of those, and then you will fund the Roth IRA account. So let's say you put $2,000 into it right now. Once that money is in the Roth IRA, you will then invest that money. So for me, I would recommend just doing a target date fund. Basically what that means is it's pretty much managed. You don't have to worry about picking certain index funds. You don't have to worry about picking certain investments. Just choose a target date fund. If you want more information about what those are, you can Google what a target date fund is, but it's very simple. And you can choose a target date fund for around the year that you want to retire. So let's say you want to retire in 2050 or 2060. You can choose a target date fund that is set up for retirement in that year. And basically it's managed. It's like risk managed around that timeline. So it's kind of sounding confusing me explaining it, but just Google what a target date fund is and you'll see. That's what I recommend doing with your Roth IRA. It's very simple, very hands-off. So let's say you fund your Roth IRA with $2,000. You go in, you choose a certain target date fund for the year that you want. You go ahead and you buy that target date fund. Now your money in your Roth IRA is invested. And the gains that happen in that account are going to be untaxed. All right? That's really the key here. Invest the money into the target date funds and let it grow over time as you continue to contribute money and buy more of the target date funds, all right? So let's say you start off with $2,000, you invest $2,000 into one of the target date funds, then next month you contribute another $100 to your Roth IRA. Well, take that $100 and invest it into that target date fund. Then the next month, $100 again into the target date fund. So you're getting in at multiple entry levels as well, and you're continuing to invest and grow that money in that account. If you just put that $2,000 in, you could not touch it. You could let it sit. It will still grow, right? But the compounding is key. As you keep adding money to that account, it's going to grow exponentially and compound, and it's going to be amazing, all right? So make sure you continue to add money to the account. But that's just kind of a basic overview of Roth IRAs. I could go on for hours about them, but if you are a little bit confused right now or if you have questions, go ahead and do some research on Roth IRAs. But moral of the story is make sure you have one, make sure you're taking advantage, and make sure that when you fund the account, you actually go in and invest in that account, all right? And I recommend target date funds. And again, I use Fidelity. Vanguard is also amazing. Charles Schwab. Choose what you want to go with. They're all great. And go in and start investing in your Roth IRA, because I promise you, you're going to see tons of gains over the years, and you're going to set yourself up for success, and you're going to set yourself up to retire with a decent amount of money, all right? And you want to be taking advantage of all the different ways that you can be earning and growing your money over time. That is really the key. Like I said, in a savings account, your money is losing value every single year, but when you are investing in something like a Roth IRA, over the years, your money is going to grow. Whether the market goes up, down, over time, the market always continuously goes up. So by the time you retire, your money is going to be grown, your compounding is going to show, and you're going to have a lot more money than you contributed. And that is free money that is given to you from what you are earning from the growth, right? So set yourself up to make money over time. Allow your money to make you more money. That is how millionaires are made, right? Allow your money to make you more money. Work smarter, not harder. Set yourself up for success in the future. And don't just be worrying about today, because if you just worry about today, you're going to end up spending everything that you make, and you're going to end up in the same cycle over and over and over again. You're going to be stuck being broke. You're going to realize 20, 30 years down the road that you're not very set up for retirement, that you don't have a lot of money to do anything with. You don't have barely anything invested or saved, and you're going to be like, oh my God, I wish I started sooner. All right. So start now, set yourself up. I promise you, you won't regret it. Grow your money. It is so important. And don't be scared of investments. Things like Roth IRAs are very, very, very low risk investments, all right? And you are definitely going to grow your money more than being in a savings account. People think savings accounts are so safe. But you're losing value every single year. I promise you that you are losing value when your money's sitting in a savings account. All right. So invest in a Roth IRA. Get that free money over the years. Start taking advantage and start allowing your money to grow. Set yourself up for the future. Set yourself up for success. All right, this is getting really long. So the last tip I want to give you guys today is making sure that you are looking at your income monthly and really allocating your money to different places. So I recommend saving at least 10% of your monthly earnings. You should invest at least 10% of your monthly earnings. And then a portion of the rest is going to go to your fixed costs, which is, of course, car payment and rent or mortgage or whatever other fixed payments that you have. And then the amount that's left over is pretty much your fun money, what you can use to enjoy and live your life. If you want to get the coffee, get the coffee. If you want to go get yourself a new shirt, get yourself a new shirt, right? This is not about crunching numbers and constricting yourself so much that you're unhappy. It's about taking control, putting money away that needs to go away to savings and investments, paying your bills, and then using whatever's left over to have fun, get what you want, and live your life freely. That's what living your rich life is about. As I read in the book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. He pretty much teaches you how to be smart with your finances while also enjoying and living your version of your own rich life. So that's really the key here. So make sure you sit down with yourself and set aside money to invest, to save, to pay your bills, and then whatever's left over is your fun money. You are free to use it, all right? So that's all I'm going to go over today. I'm probably going to do another series of this because I have so many more tips to go over. But if you want to dive into the book that has given me a lot of this knowledge, it is I Will Teach You to Be Rich. It's absolutely amazing. I highly recommend it. But if you're not a reader and you just kind of want all the basic tips, I will give you guys all the tips here on the podcast and you can just kind of listen through in the little series that I do. But if you're someone who's like, I want to dive in, I want to read the whole book, then go ahead, get the book, read the whole thing, and you'll gain all the knowledge from the book as well. But that's all I'm covering today. I hope this helped some of you. Even if it was stuff that you already knew and just kind of hearing it over again might have helped you, I hope I was able to make a little bit of an impact today. I love you all so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Look out for the next part in this series. I'm going to do probably another one or two of them because I have lots to talk about. But yeah, I love you guys so much. I'm going to end this off like I normally do. Make sure you go out into the world today and spread some love, some light, some positivity. Go out and make a positive impact in the world because you never know what kind of impact you can make in somebody's life, all right? So go out and spread it. I love you all so freaking much. Go out, have an amazing day, and live your abundant life, all right? Love you guys. Bye.